This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
So, as a way of welcoming us, I want to do a few minutes in refreshing our memory as to the identities that God has used in defining this year to us as a people and to as many as are connected to this stream of ministry. First, He called this year the year of flight. And as the year of flight, what we are ordained unto is the experience of new dimensions of grace, manifestations of the Spirit after a new order, revelations after a new order, in depth, in width, in height, relevance even in earthly things after a new order. The criteria is that the one who wants to experience the lift of the ground must show up in the posture of a waiter. It therefore means that this is not the year of the presumptuous. You cannot experience flight if you have your own ways. You will have to understand the practice of the presence of God so that in guidedness you will come into new dimensions. I'm choosing my words very carefully. The desire is that everyone experiences flight, but there is a caveat that God has created around this theme. It is not my year of flight. It is not our year of flight. It means that what it takes to fly has not been given to you. What is required for flight has been kept rather in the year. Are you with me? So the year comes with an equipping. The one who wants to maximize the equipments in the year, which will generally make for flight, we need to posture themselves as waiters. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall exchange their strength, and as a validation for exchange strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and they shall not be weary. They shall work and they shall not faint. Also, it has also been codenamed the year of recompense. The year of recompense. It means that it will be a year that will furnish encounters with the justice system of God, bringing both rewards, or bringing rewards to both the righteous and the unrighteous, as God begins to perfect the appraisals of men, institutions, including nations. So, we have, in the last 3 to 4 years, experienced progressive appraisals from God. And if your secret life has been accurate, one of the things you should have experienced within the last 3 to 4 years is the convictions of the Holy Ghost. It should have been impossible for you to sustain any kind of negativity without being challenged by the Lord. But you see, He will not challenge too long any further. What He will begin to do is to bring judgment. Because that season of trying to lure by conviction is winding up. The end is not damnation. So we know the season of grace is still open. But there is a harvest that God needs in this season for the harvest. There is a kind of believer that Jesus wants to see emerge who will be useful for the coming harvest. And so there is going to be a harvest before the harvest. In other words, what I call it privately is the harvest towards the harvest. It's like you want to get people into a bus or into a train. You need a lot of people before the train gets filled up. So you recruit a recruitment team. So it's a recruitment for the recruitment. So many things that were done negatively in yesteryears that attracted the convicting communications of the Holy Spirit, but believers bypassed, will not be bypassable this year. God will bring judgment. Secret works are going to be brought to light, and they are going to be judged. It means that there are certain dimensions of shame that people will not be able to pray away this year. It will be easier to pray away the one that the enemy is bringing. But the ones that are redemptive in expression will happen, so that the obstinate, those who have not yielded to the cause of God, will be punished. It's a strange year. And like I always say when I share these things, don't believe me, but there's no one under the sound of my voice who will die this year. It means that everyone who chooses to live their ways contrary to the ways of the Lord will be punished, and we will know that God's hand is on you. May God give us wisdom. Let me continue. 3. Maybe during the conference I will expatiate on some of these things in my introduction. 3. It is the year of perfected transitions. We've been speaking of transitions a long time. But there's a more robust expression of the word transition. Because many times when we spoke of the word transition, we spoke of God occasioning what we call a change of guards, bringing new faces to step into ancient planes of expression, offices. Yes. Exchanging those who sit upon thrones so that the counsels of God can continue. Yes, there's perfection coming to the transition of functionaries this year. And God is going to be establishing a lot of new voices. My word from God is that He will be establishing. It means that there will be many pseudo-imagined voices in 2023. The word pseudo from biology is the word false. It means that there will be many people who, in trying to take advantage of the transition, will show up and they will look for a season like sent men. But because it is God's year and not the year of man, if I wanted to give this year by revelation a fourth name, I'll call it the year of God. Because God will flex His muscles like we have not seen Him. And so it's a year to live with so much gravity. You must be together. Don't be scattered. I don't speak too good English, so I don't know which other word to use. Don't be scattered. Be collected. It's a word people use. If somebody is misbehaving, Juan, you want to tell the person to, what do you tell the person? Be guided. Thank you, Angela. I know you use that word a lot. It's to be guided. to be guided. In case you feel that you have a tendency to stray, look for guidance systems. You may need to study the word of God more than ever before, so that it will choke your appetite, so that you can be within borders. The usage of the members of our bodies must be with care this year. I know when we talk of the members of our bodies, what goes into the heart of the average Christian is immorality. See, the way we use our mouths must change this year. Many of us talk too much, and I know, but I'm a father, I won't say much. You know, fathers hear and keep quiet. Many of us talk too much. So this year, we must talk less. We must talk less. So that where blessings are decreed, blessings can rest. I've shared in AWCN, the job of a father is to bless under any condition. But only God activates the blessing. And that transfer is a hard thing, because it weighs hearts. Are you with me? I met a lady in Lagos last week, serving in Lagos. We only met once in a lifetime, when I went to Kwasu. It was a very down time in my life, not family issues. Just sometimes I get these arrows that hit me. And so I couldn't stay in my hotel room because there was no light. And for me, a beloved brother who invited me did his best to make me comfortable. That was what was most comfortable in my living. So I decided to sit in my car, and she was passing and saw my side view and rushed at me and said, "Ha, sir, you are around? I just came to greet you." And all I said was, "God bless you." It was casual, and I switched back into my meditations. So when I saw her in Lagos, she said, "You can't remember me?" I said, "No, I was that lady that came." But she didn't look like the lady, because the lady I saw was, this one was enlarged. I said, "You are not as big as this." She said, "No." She said, "It's comfort." She said, "I chanted your 'God bless you' every day, like God spoke to me. Her life opened on a very large financial plane." I didn't even walk my service to Lagos, but I work in Lagos and I serve in KPMG. Who does that? I even have some few interviews tomorrow. Okay, so God bless you again. So I saw after my session, before I moved to Abeokuta, she had a long face. What happened? The camera of the laptop I was supposed to use for the interview did not work. We tried two other laptops, it didn't work. I said, "Okay, but you want the job?" She said, "Yes." "Write to them that the camera of your laptop did not work. Let them schedule another interview for you alone." She said, "It doesn't work like that." Okay. So she sent me a message on Friday that I was reluctant to, but I did. And do you know, sir, they sent me another invite. I don't know her. She doesn't serve under me. She only greeted me. But a casual "God bless you," he still "God bless you." There's an evil that I've seen under the sun. Strangers benefit more from fathers in the house than children of the house, because they can't discern. May God give you understanding this year. I just vocalized one of my pains, because in confirming that there is the capacity to shift men, God makes me get testimonies from people I just meet on the road. It means that it's not impotency in the house, it's non-alignment. And I think one of the reasons that people talk too much, they talk themselves out of the blessing. May God help you this year. I promised I won't say more than that. So beyond here, Jesus will be angry. So I pleased you. So we're not God just going to see human beings change. There is a sharp bend that is also going to, or let me call it this way. There is a major recovery which will happen in the current move of God, this revival move. There's a major recovery that will happen, and it's the recovery of the word of truth. God will be raising many in the teaching ministry. The reason is because there is a renewed emphasis, or if you want, a heightened emphasis for the maturation of the body of Christ. You mature by diet. And so the depth of revelation into the mysteries of the Christ will be stronger. And as many as are willing to give God time to teach them, they will become reputable in the teaching ministry. So that's something else that will happen. There's a transition that will happen because of that addition. So the move will be slightly adjusted so that we will be able to mature more in the body of Christ with the increase of these functionaries in the body of Christ. Certain current emphases in the body will go down, because those emphases were relevant because the average person in church did not know how to manage God. Are you with me? For example, let's use the mundane. If Daniel is the only one that knows how to cook Indomie in this room, he will become a star. Are you with me? And then he can begin to write manuals on how to cook Indomie. Because there's desire, everybody begins to subscribe to it. If, unfortunately for him, the only thing he knows how to cook is Indomie, when all of us, by studying the manual, can cook Indomie, he will no longer be a star. And so, if you have majored in what became important because the body of Christ has not matured, like you are a master of counsel because people don't know how to hear from God, when by doctrine everybody knows how to hear, if you have no other area of specialty, it means you will go into oblivion. Are you getting my point? That's just one example. But it's a year of transitions. And so if you have been called to teach the word of God, pay the price of time. The Holy Ghost wants to teach men, but you must give him time. Okay, I'll stop there because it's not a prophetic service, but let's sustain. Now, having said that, our labor in trying to unveil in detail what the shape of the year is as regards the counsels of God is not to the end that men applaud us as being strong in the prophetic. The things I'm sharing were not received because of a special place that I think I have with God. Rather, I think they are just byproducts of secret place, my secret place experiences. It means the things I'm saying will not sound new to anybody who has stayed in the secret place. I mean, they are common things. If you are in the same place, we hear the same things. So the reason why I was sharing them, rather, is so that we can come into the responsibilities that will make us maximize what God is advertising. If my desire is to serve hot coffee on a morning that comes with a temperature of -1°C, your desire for hot coffee will only be validated if you produce a vessel. Am I right? So if you are like those who go to Meshai and buy Indomie inside nylon, it can work. But if it's hot coffee inside nylon, you know that you are not equipped. So there is a requisite partnership that we must come into, so that what God wants to do can find expression in the place over which He has given you control. My sermons are, I expect them tonight, because I still trusted Jesus to manage to preach for 4 sessions. Some of them, when I was walking back to the car, it was like I was floating. I know it was drug effect, because I had to start my drugs immediately. But I was sharing yesterday night how that the consciousness of our kingly and priestly expressions were captured in the marching orders that God gave to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. What did the Bible say? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So, in dressing it, Adam was designed to function as a priest. Because a priest, an accurate priest, is a trafficker. Have you heard of drug? People do drug trafficking. That's what an accurate priest is. He's like a mailman. He reaches into the dimensions of God and brings things out of that dimension so that earth can mature in beauty. And then when there's a cry in the earth, he takes the cry from the realms of men and sends it into God. So he delivers goods from man to God and delivers goods from God to man. That's how the garden will find dressing. It will find nurturing. Every man who has been gifted responsibility like Adam, when God wants to bring you over a place, what he does is that he brings you into a place, he gives you a perfect picture, but when you arrive, you find out that the place is not perfect because you are a trafficker. So the rate of maturation is not really an accurate representation of what God is expecting to happen. The rate of maturation is actually a byproduct of the quality of your priesthood. Are you getting me? God can have a 1-year plan. Maybe your priesthood can only achieve that 1-year plan in 10 years because the quality is weak. Like if it was the prayer aspect of priesthood, you show up once in a month instead of every day. It means a 1-year plan can be a 15-year plan. The garden will still mature, but it will take a long time. So never say, oh, this thing is taking so long. It may have happened in God. It may just be that the quality of priesthood that is shipping equipment, like you moved into a new house, you bring in a chair, you bring in a bed, right? You bring in electronics, you bring in the rug. There's a perfect picture, and the perfect picture suggests that in God, it is perfect, completed. But you see, God will not bully you. Your priesthood, your journey in priesthood will be to the degree that you want to be committed. So the assignment of Adam was first to dress the garden, nurture it, make it attain perfected beauty. 2 is to keep it. And to keep means to guard. That's the communication of territorial covering, which is the energy of a king. So from Genesis 2:15, we see 2 offices emerge: the office of the priest and the office of the king. What I'm now saying is that When God says a year will look a particular way, what an accurate priest does is to begin to labor to traffic. You have a territory that is under you. It might be your house. You have siblings. You have siblings that you want them to fly. Good. You will need to move things out of God into your family so that the members of your family experience a flight. Do you have people in your home that have been laboring well? They have been doing good, but all they have been reaping is evil. It means because it's a year of recompense, the tables will turn this year. And all their years of picking crumbs, they could now come into a whole loaf. But you will still need to move things out of God. Because at the end of the year, your stewardship will be judged by what happened in the territory under your watch. If God has not given you Ghana, He won't judge you for change that didn't happen in Ghana. Are you with me? Good. So, there is a required partnership. That's why we need to hear these things again. That we must put in so that what God has promised, what He has provided, can find expression without hindrance in the places where He has called us to labor in. Let me continue. It is to this end that we must continue throughout the year to re-echo to ourselves. We don't do it too many times. To re-echo to ourselves what God called the year. Because every time God brings this kind of communications, they come as a two-sided coin. On one side, it is a communication in definition, in instruction. On the other side, they are invitations to a life of compliance. And I'm entering the deep of my instruction tonight. A life of compliance. That in manner when God says, in 2 years, what I'm going to do with your life, you will not have dreamt about it. I would so dazzle you with my goodness that people will think that spirits were involved. When He says that, it will be folly to go on YouTube and say, watch out for my life in 2 years. You will be so dazzled. What you should rather do is to understand that it is an invitation to begin to live life by prescriptions. You must comply. We are not of they who only rejoice at the promises of God. We are also of they who understand the requirements for fulfillment. That there is a human partnership. And we become slaves of the terms of our compliance. Knowing that if God places demands upon us, the one who places demands will help us meet them. That's how it works. So beyond the definitions of the season as a congregation, are there things that God told you? Don't just write them down. That's what some people do. And then they go and then they start checking. Is something burning? Let them check. There's an electrical issue. So what the average person does is he goes there and says, okay, there are 7 things. In March, 1 has happened. Maybe because you didn't do anything about it, Jesus decided, let's motivate him. Let mercy happen. And then 1 in March. And then on December 28th, you say another 1 has happened. And then there's a carryover because you were not responsible. The Bible gives us a vivid picture. A promised 40-day journey became how many years? Did God keep His promise? That their 40 years was still 40 days. Thank God the numbers were even the same. So there was a prophet that also said 40 days, like some Nigerian prophets would do. They would say what they meant was one day was prophetically 1 year. What God said to Israel was supposed to deliver in a 40-day activity season. But Israel decided to fulfill a 40-day activity season in 40 years, and God patiently waited for them. May you not waste your life and then begin to weep about delays in the name of Jesus. All right. Let's go a little bit further. Because God, in seeking the fulfillment of his promises, demands of us a life of compliance, we will need to do business around the, should I use a word now, the reality of obedience. Somebody say obedience. I hope I'm helping you. Sorry, I'm this gentle. I don't like it too, but just stay with me. I'm getting stronger, and I will as the meeting goes on. Obedience. Because the subject of our discourse is the law of servitude. Obedience. Obedience. Some time ago, I began to speak to the Lord. Why do I need to do everything you want me to do? I want you to get my line again. I began to speak to the Lord, and my question was, why do I need to do everything you want me to do? Why can't I live on my terms? Because grace, there are things that you want to do that are good things. But you see, a life of obedience does not operate by what you think is good. A life of obedience operates by what is prescribed. Are you with me? So, my point is, why can't I do good? I have certain scriptures that there are 6 sacrifices of a priest, and that number 4, 1, 2, 3, number 4 is to do good. Number 5 is to share what I have. As regards communication, do not forget. So, to share what I have. So why can't I just do good and then you are pleased? Why do I need to obey you? And so Jesus answered me. And he said to me, he said, there are 2 grounds upon which I demand obedience from you. The first ground is on the ground of love for me. John chapter 14, verse 15. Have we tracked it? Okay, it's from outside. Okay. If ye love me, what's the validation? Can you, don't just look up. If ye love me, I want you to read it so that you remember. Can we go together? How many of us under the sound of my voice truly love Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay, let's invert it. Let's invert it. Sincerely in your heart, sincerely, you don't love Jesus. It's not a bad thing. Raise your hand. Sincerely. Nobody. But you see, this verse of scripture is telling us that even though on the side of I don't love Jesus, we have 0. There are many people on that side. They have just decided to hide themselves in the clouds, but there are many. It's even possible that somebody came to church this evening with a plan to act in a way that shows that he doesn't love Jesus. Even after this, somebody might even be doing it in the service now. Because Jesus said, chanting, I love you, is not my love language. I don't know if you've been in relationships and you studied love languages. It becomes the dilemma of those who have been in multiple relationships, because you forget that you're relating with a different person. The last person you were in a relationship with, David, I'm just saying, had as her love language time. If you are a student and the love language of the lady is time, Jesus will help you. You may start failing. Because I'm going to class, stay with me. And then you see that. The person may not talk, just stay there. If a person doesn't love God, you will soon need to choose between them and God. And you know, people are bold to make such demands. Choose between me and God. You and God. For me, that's the easiest choice I can make. You and God are God now, and I'm off. And you not see my brake light again. So maybe that was that kind of person you had before. Now you have somebody. That time you used to sit with the person, but your bank account used to be robust. There's another kind of love language that you must give till you are a pauper. The person just, if you say I love you, say what did you bring for me? Ah, so you must bring something every time. That person doesn't need your time. As a matter of fact, if you employ a delivery man, the person believes you love them. Just be, when she wakes up in the morning, she sees 3 meat pie. In the afternoon, there's amala. In the night, there's shawarma. The person doesn't even want to talk to you. If you do not understand this second person, and you are going to sit down with them, and you are quiet just looking at them, you will look like a criminal. I'm saying to us that Jesus has a love language, but many of us have stayed around mortals, around men too much. I mean, human beings too much. And we think that the terms that we use for men and use for God mean the same thing to both of them. When Jesus was teaching fatherhood, he understood that just like we have a heavenly father, we have earthly fathers. He decided to create a dichotomy that, you see, this is how human fathers behave, but God is not like that. So you can't use the fatherhood system under which you grew up to define what God looks like. I know you had human friends, but you see, when you become a friend of God, you need to learn the term friendship on a whole new level. Humanly speaking, there are sons who think it's normal to talk at their parents and to do what they want when they are, or do different things and have their parents do different things. When you come into sonship, Jesus said the son doeth nothing except what he said the father do. In Jesus' realm of sonship, sons don't live original lives. They live their lives by mirroring. Any good thing you do that your father in heaven is not doing is a labor in iniquity. It attracts no reward. It actually attracts punishment. But you know, here, your daddy can be a farmer and you are an engineer. You are still his son. In that world, it doesn't happen like that. That's why when people come into the kingdom, we need to redefine their terms of reference in the kingdom. It may be the same word, but we must tell them it means something different. Are you with me? So that they will not abuse proximity to God. Jesus says to me, what you give me is not as important as obedience to me. What other love languages do we have apart from gifts? You who have read the book, you are masters of teaching relationship. It's the practical we're waiting for. Okay. What other love languages? Word of affirmation. So some people think it's word of affirmation. Jesus, you know I love you. If you search your heart, you will know that you are precious to me, like he's deceivable. Jesus is saying it's not enough. In case you don't want to stop with words and you convert it into songs, he's saying it doesn't work for me. What else? What else? Acts of service. Maybe on your wall at home, you have plaques. Best worker, most potent worker. I was sharing with them yesterday that one of the things that is wrong about priesthood teachings in Nigeria is that we have embraced the acts of priesthood and we have not taught the ways of a priest. So men who have no place in priesthood are trying to do the work of a priest. Somebody who is not living like an intercessor is trying to pray the prayer of an intercessor. It has gotten so bad that people go for 4 hours intercessory ministry and they are praying about themselves. Because we think long prayer is equal to intercession. May God show us mercy. We have not taught the ways of a priest. You see, a priest is a gift. If he walks in, he's a trafficker. A priest always has something to give, whether it's physical or spiritual. That's the life of a priest. Yes, prayer is one of the things that he does. And I was sharing with them yesterday, I said of the sacrifices of a priest, intercession is number 6 in arrangement. Number 6. And if we arrange it using Jesus as a model, intercession is the last thing he's doing. Because the first thing he did was to offer himself. And he didn't first do it on the cross. Even becoming a man was an offering, a sacrifice. And then the sacrifice of praise, you see how he deliberately vocalized the realities of the Father. 3 is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. 4 is the sacrifice of good works. There are many praying men who have no good works. They are more wicked than the devils that are oppressing people. But they pray. No good works. 5 is sharing. 6 is intercession. And Jesus' intercessory ministry publicly began it from the cross, or maybe John 17, then to the cross, and then he ever liveth to do it. That's the end of his priestly sacrifice. You should also begin your own from the offering of yourself. Are you with me? And then the 4 other things you're supposed to offer before you come to intercession. That's what makes an intercessor strong. Because the life of an intercessor is what bears his prayers to heaven. So if the life is not accurate, then it means what will have is noise. The incense will not rise. Your prayer needs a traffic agent. Are you with me? Yes. Next time when you want to eat eba, be looking at the eba and hope that it will enter your mouth. Will it enter? If you stay long, rat will come and start eating it until they finish it. It's the mouth that needs to eat it, but the hand needs to work. I'm saying your life as an intercessor is the hand that moves petition up to God. So if it does not approve, because intercession is an offering, it's a sacrifice. So it must follow after the order of the first sacrifice in scriptures, man-made sacrifice. Whose sacrifice was that? Abel. What was the order of acceptability? Accepted what? The person, then the offering. That's how intercession works. The person, then the offering. So if we don't labor around the person, the offering will be wasted. That's how it works. If you love me, my own love language to Jesus is, I want to spend so much time with him. I want to fall in love with you. Then sit down there. But don't obey him. He will still not understand your long stay. Because your long stay cannot be equal to obedience. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So the Lord said to me, the first ground upon which obedience is demanded is the ground of genuine love for the Christ. Jesus pioneered this pathway. It was because of love for the Father that he stayed true to the Father's dictates. Because he loved the Father. Love will not make you displease the Father. Love will not make you grieve the Father. That's the first ground. Let's run. The second ground that the Lord revealed to me is the ground of the Lordship of the Christ. And you know, that was funny to me. Because I said, Lord, why do I always have to obey you? And his response was, but you just called me Lord. You don't understand that. You just called me Lord. If I had said, friend, why do I have to obey you? There will be no ground. But if you called me Lord, shall I not govern you? So that office has as one of his demands the reality of compliance, obedience. If you read Philippians chapter 2, maybe from verse 8, let's look at it quickly. I have a long way to go as strength is supplied. Of Jesus it was said, and being found in fashion as a man. And being found in fashion as a man. We may need to stop to think, because remember that if you read up a little, you will be shown that Jesus, only for the sacrifice of the cross, decided not to claim equality with God, because at default they were equal. Are you with me? There's no hierarchy in the Godhead. There's only separation of powers. Are you with me? Operationally, they do different things. But you won't say God the Father is bigger than God the Son. Because even God the Son didn't start his journey as God the Son. He was the Word. Are you with me? But because of the assignment, it was his act of humility that made him subservient under the will of the Father. A will that they mutually agreed to. If you went to a public secondary school, brothers, you would have played what they call monkey post. You know what they call monkey post? Or five aside. All of you can be players, but you just look at one of them and say, well, surely you be the goalkeeper. The guy may know how to play good football. But you know, many times in monkey post, the guy who's at the post may be near idol. He looks like he's playing a lesser role. But it was a mutually agreed lesser role. I'm saying that it was the congregation of the Godhead, Elohim, that decided, Jesus, you will play this role. And then so that we can set a precedence for the fulfillment of the will of God in the earth, when it comes out of the water, Holy Ghost, this is your own plot in this movie. You will come down and rest on him. So that when Peter begins to speak, he will be able to speak of your fusion. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and report. Are you with me? So all of them planned it. Okay, when I die, what happens? Oh, you will rise up again. We'll deploy the Holy Ghost again. Now he will come as the Spirit of glory. And what he will do is he will get you out of the grave. So that's how everybody is going to play. Now, there's this box they used to use for movies. What do they call it? What do they call it? You know what I'm talking about. There's something they click like that and then it starts. So, plot, start. Gabriel comes to, in the sixth month, to Mary and says, this is what will happen to you. okay, Gabriel, go back home. They want to kill the baby. So everybody's moving. It's a perfect plot. Jesus could not even step out of it, because any step out of it to say, let me do what is my own, it will disturb the rest of the thing. Maybe somebody angered him one day, and it almost occurred to him, Kai, oh, I leave you. Because we can't affect the template. Gethsemane was a desperate moment. I'm sure the rest of heaven was watching. Ah, what if I da play hero? What if I daru? Say if it be your will, let this cup. Angels must have screamed, which cup? It can't happen any other way. He said, nevertheless, not your will, my will, but your will be done. And angels were deployed. Okay, strengthen him, encourage him. Maybe what you thought they gave him was physical strength. I believe one of the things they brought was communication. See where you end. Because sometimes you don't need water to survive. When you are shown what the future holds, some of you, your down moments, what you need is not money. What you need is a word that defines the future, a sure word that this is what God has in store for you. You will go through scarcity like you are walking in abundance. I'm speaking to you of highways that I know. I don't want to go that way, because once I touch those areas, I become very emotional. If somebody is asking me, what is keeping you on the path? Is the path so easy? No. What is keeping you there? He speaks to me. That's why, if you look at my phone, I've downloaded very old songs again. I can't remember the beginning of the song, but I remember it was David Ingles that sang when we were young. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry here, no other has ever known. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. People ask me, many people don't like you. I survive hatred cheaply. I have found the voice that matters. And so when people talk, you know, it even takes long. When I now hear and I want to get bothered, he says, but you belong to me. Between me and God, for me to him is obedience. Him to me, proof of love, is affirmation. Once he says, you are good now, that's the end. I can endure junk. So he ends that song, he says, and the joy that we share as we tarry here, no other, I don't know if it's other or mortal, has ever known. I was driving one of those days from Ilorin last few weeks, and I downloaded the song Across the Bridge. You know the song? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. The sun will shine across the river and will never be unhappy again. It means our unhappiness, our struggles, is only on this side. When we cross to the other side, we know what the future holds. So let's journey to the bridge. Abi, that's the thing now. If we are sure of what is on the other side of the bridge, let's journey. If you look at my phone, I don't have the time, but I'll give you. I just went looking for Jim Reeves, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, Lead Me On, Let Me Stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storms, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, Precious Lord, lead me on. That's what our fathers heard that kept them 50, 60 years in the faith. I want to hear those songs again. My crux here is being found in fashion as a man. You will not choose the path of obedience until you fully discern your shape. And I may need to define that a little. Jesus was not originally fashioned as a man. And so when he was the Word, it was role playing in the Godhead. But when he understood that he now had been clothed with humanity, he no longer claimed equality. He humbled himself. One of the things I found out about man is that a man is a creature of dominion. But you see, your dominion is most potent as a man when it is submitted. So you have the power to choose what to do and to stay by your choices. Choice is one of the byproducts of our dominion. But you will not be able to maximize that power of choice until you surrender it. Choose on my behalf. Are you getting me? The world will make you feel, maybe God gave you brain. Even when we know what to think, because we understand our frame, that we are largely myopic, no matter how spiritual we are, we know how. How do we know? In part, a man who knows in part should not be making choices. It means that you can only make choices as good as what you can see. Now that I'm old, if I go to the market to buy tomato or buy mango, I will lift every single one to check it. Because the people who stack mangoes, they arrange it. The rotten side is always facing them. The good side is facing you. So you just come. You say, which one? This one. Then you now find out that you bought 8 mangoes and 6 of them are rotting behind. Sometimes, because the person likes you, the seller, you will say, this one. The seller will say, don't pick that one. It means it's not for people that I like. Pick this one. You say, no, is this what I like? Why not say it's this one? So the person packs it for you. When you now come back in Yoruba, because you know in part, when love says, let me choose on your behalf, when love says, in your obedience lies your security, in your obedience lies your profitability, you should hear the voice of love and obey. But there, your obedience is premised on the acknowledgement of your frame. You don't know enough to lead yourself, even if you have power. You don't know enough to use it in a way that you not hurt yourself. A gun is power. It's like an anointing. You don't believe me. But that's what a gun is like. Because no matter how big the person is, even if you just get a cold round pipe and put it behind somebody's leg and say, bring your phone, he will have given you before. He checks and sees the pipe. But if you give a child a gun, that's power in his hands. A wise child, if you give him a gun, what would he do? He will give it back to you. Help me use it. Because what could have aided him could waste him. So somebody says it was wrong for Adam to give out his dominion. No. It was a gift God gave him so that he could give it back to God. Because dominion is God's gift to man. But dominion is man's gift of expression to God. He gave it to you so that you could give it to him, so that on your behalf he could express it, so that his kingdom would thrive. So Lord, what do you want to do today? I want to name animals. Okay, give me wisdom to name them. These are your names. Stay like that. God, what do you want to do today? I want to build a company. Okay, give me your wisdom to build using the power that you have given me. And then when we look at the company, we don't see you. What we see is God. So your dominion becomes a gift of expression to the spirit that you give it to. Adam's problem was that he gave it to the wrong spirit. Are you with me? That was the secret behind the miracle of Samuel. That was the secret behind the wisdom of Solomon. Give me a throne. But I found out that the energy of a throne is nothing without wisdom. Take the throne. I can't lead them. What he was saying to God was, dominion is not enough. It must be accompanied with a reality from you so that it can express you. So God said, you didn't ask for wisdom. Oh, you didn't ask for wealth. I'll give you wealth. But you have wisdom. That man operated wisdom to a point that he was the proof that, you see, wisdom is equal to strength. Because David silenced his foes by the strength of warfare. He is wisdom destined. If you came to fight him and he spoke, you'll be afraid to launch an attack, because you know his wisdom, he will outplan your army. So you go home, Jeje, and wait till he dies before you attack. On a side, if you have found an area of giftedness in your life, it's because God seeks expression. But he will not take it from you by force. The first thing you need to do is that, though I have this gift, I understand my frame. Jesus knew his potencies, but he was found, being found in fashion as a man, not as a God. He adapted to the shape of his existence and he humbled himself. You know that you can misuse any gifts that God gives you. It means that your life will have been better if you didn't have a gift than to have it and misuse it. So you'll go back to the giver as he's using it for your glory. I'll just tag along. Am I speaking to someone tonight? I'm teaching a principle. I called it the law of servitude. So Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I'm trying to give you a second ground for obedience. He became obedient how? Unto death. Even the death of the cross. Verse 8 and 9. Let's go. Wherefore God also, in addition to that effect, had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's not where I'm going. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let's go on. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His lordship was a byproduct of his obedience. So if he comes as Lord, what produced his lordship is obedience. It means what maximizes his lordship in your life will be what? Obedience. So you must, it's a part you must master. Obedience is not this selective doing of the will of God. That, okay, God spoke to me this morning. He said I should give a bottle of water to Isaac. So I gave it to him. And then you come on Friday again and say, God spoke to me today. I did something. What happens in between? We must begin to teach ourselves that the communications of God that demand compliance are not just the directly spoken words of God. The day God doesn't give you instructions is because he has written instructions. Are you with me? So let nobody say the reason why I'm living my life like this is that God is not saying anything to me. He's speaking into your heart, but the days you can't hear him, you can read him. So none of us is without excuse. You can read him. His lordship was a byproduct of his obedience, and so his lordship can only be maximized by obedience. Unfortunately, we have choices to make every day. Every problem, every challenge exposes our lives to a choice. There are about 5 different sources, and I've shared this before, that seek to instruct us. 4, to ultimately make us slaves unto sin and then death, to reap a harvest of death. Only 1 to make us a slave of righteousness. You have instructions from the world. They tell you what to say. They tell you what to look. Trends are actually instructions from the world. This is how everybody's looking. This is how everybody's talking. This is what everybody's wearing. I won't talk about that today. No, it's not a battle I want to fight yet. But we... Okay, let me stay here. As you grow older, you must choose your battles carefully. But because I'm a critical person and I have a plumb line in my spirit, have you noticed that? It's not wrong, though. I'm not dealing on right or wrong now. I'm just speaking of our ability to flow with trends. Have you found out that patterns on the hair have returned? It's not wrong, but you know it's good to look beautiful. Am I right? Blessing. It's good to look beautiful. But everybody wants to wear a pattern now, and it's not wrong. But did anybody go to fashion school to say this is what to wear? It's just mass conformity. Have you noticed? If I close my eyes, I can sketch the latest haircut in town. And everybody, including the people whose head does not fit it, it looks as if it comes with some degree of acceptability that we are the ones. And I'm asking myself, what's the motivation? When we're young, people used to do party anyhow. Some people wear afro and put big pattern inside so that it will be very bold. But it's a sudden reappearance, maybe sometime last year. But the conformity, even in ministry, and it's not wrong, because there's, it's not canonized as to, or it's not a substance of doctrine as to what hairstyle you must buy. But I'm just saying, we just walk on the road, we see it, we like it, we barb it. But one day we are going to tell the young ladies, don't wear what you see, let the Lord lead you. And I'm asking, who is fooling who? See, you can't go to the market and see people wearing things and you just wear it. We're setting a precedent that anything we see and it looks good, we can bring it. Because the re-entry came from Hollywood too. Yes. It's in Hollywood, they draw all sort of stuff on their hair. And when we draw it now, it's beauty, males. But when ladies dress from Hollywood, they are in trouble. We need to ask questions. So I'm trying to do a research. I want to know origins. And if the origin is good, Pastor Diola, women need to comply so that we look like informed pastors. You don't think so? Maybe you have been dreaming of that thing too, because the way you are keeping this, your hair. Where's your wife? Is she in church? Okay, she's outside. Has she encouraged you that maybe you should? You can carve her name at the back here. I'm sorry. I'm just like I said, it's not wrong. I just think maybe a little bit deep. And ask myself, at what point will trend followership end with the church? At what point? Because I think that some things we are doing in church, knowing that when somebody raises, like this thing I'm doing now, some of you will hear it, they will cut it, and they will say, I said it's wrong. That's why I've said too many times, it's not wrong. And if you remove my, it's not wrong, there'll be trouble. It's a promise. I won't need to talk, because I understand the ground upon which I'm speaking. I'm just saying that we can't be trend followers and be servants of Jesus. There should be a place beyond which we cannot go. There are things we like, but we can't do, because it's lawful to follow trends to a degree, but it's not expedient. That's what Paul said. I love dreads, and I wish that I had the privilege to wear very short dreads. I will labor to make sure they are clean. Where's Jerry? Jerry, what church background are you from? Will you walk into this place if I was wearing dreads? I know Jerry too is trying to, he will soon cut his hair and put parting, but if I was a dread carrying pastor, you won't come. And I think what we're doing is we're damning consequences. It's not living unto Jesus. So people are living from their souls. We don't care. If it looks good on me, I show up on it. And I think the women should raise a cry, because they are being extra judged. Pastors dress to a point now that you don't even think the guy is a pastor. In the name of what you wear is not the anointing. But we have a problem with you, sir. Because Jesus did not live life by the culture of his day. I know you love blings on your ears. I know you speak in tongues. I know I'm cutting trouble right now, but it's awesome on the first Sunday of the year. I know you love earrings, but you can't stand representing Jesus before a kind of people. If you have tattoos before you got saved, some of them are permanent. I don't have a problem with you. It's a sign that you came from there. But that you came in and then you took on a tattoo and put a cross there. Come on! What are we doing? These things advertise a culture. There are a group of unreached people that we can no longer reach when we show up in a shape. And many of these things are happening because even ministers don't obey Jesus. Obedience is selective. And if obedience is selective, it means love is selective. My confidence is that Jesus sent me. So I win. There are things that our fathers don't do. It's not because they are out of fashion. is because their lives are guided. They understand the shape of one who represents Jesus. Even on this campus, there is a way you dress that if you meet people, you know there are people in Lautech who came from the village. They too are just trying to feel among. They've not seen a pastor with green hair before. And then when you come and say Jesus loves you, they just say, and then they will run. You have deprived the kingdom an opportunity. You have word. You have spirit. But nobody drinks cold coke in a dirty cup. I'm not saying that outlook is dirty. I'm just saying that it doesn't attract, the content loses attraction because of the container. I'm saying this to everybody. Pastors are guilty. Instrumentalists are more guilty. Jibola, instrumentalists are more guilty. Instrumentalists behave like they are not Christians at all. Like many of them behave like they are hirelings. Like they are just gifted to do something. They just sweep in, dress anyhow, talk anyhow, because they have skill. A day is coming when God will raise his men, and to them skill will not be enough. If Bezalel could build by the Holy Ghost, we'll have drummers that are inspired by the Spirit. All these strange beats we used to hear in church, we'll not hear them again. Used to have one guy like that in school. Because our drummer went on night. The guy used to play for 3 churches. He doesn't come for rehearsal. They send song to him at home. So he just listens to it. He can score any song in like 1 hour. That time in school, he will beat praise and worship for winners in Mina. Then he will come to Zion Baptist Church, he will play choir song. Then he will go to another church, maybe one Anglican church around Mobile area. He will go and play choir song for them after our own. Then he will go home. 3 of us will sort him at the end of the day. The guy listens to sermon from nobody. When we saw him moving around our sisters, some people were complaining. In my heart, I was telling myself, what do you expect? Is he not God? Drummer God. The first criteria to church workership is that the person is a servant of Jesus before he becomes a servant of the assembly. So if there is no track record of sustained obedience to Jesus, every skilled man who comes to church should sit down and first learn how to obey the Lord of the house. That's what a church looks like. So that if he hears something in his barber shop and wants to play, use the intro for choir song, his heart will beat because he will have mastered how to be controlled by the Spirit. When we were young, those were the kind of books we read, how to be led by the Spirit of God. That's how you come into discipleship. Now is how to serve God for a reward. That's why I said in the beginning, we are a house of preservation. And so, we may not look as contemporary as you want. It's because if you want to keep old wine, there's a kind of cellar that you must keep it in. That's where it will be. You've heard of those bottles of wine. Some of them are 100 years old. They are not fermented. There's a kind of container you must stay in. So you must make sure you stay with that container. If not, it will ferment, it will not swell, and it will make men excited instead of make them sober. So if you affect the container, it will touch the wine. So you must keep it. Our parents used to drink cold water. There's this earthen pot in the village, Amu. Many times they cover it with a metal plate. If you keep water in a bucket, it will not produce the same reality. Even though it's the same water, so the container affects what is inside. And what I'm saying today is that what makes the container that can play host to what God wants to preserve is that the container understands its frame, that it was shaped to submit. Obedience is what makes it useful as a vessel to preserve the realities of God. Obedience will make you live a life that is against your generation, but you must be willing to live like that. Obedience will bring deprivation, but you must be willing to live like that. Obedience will bring enmity. You will not need to talk about it, because you are obedient. The disobedient will be convicted and they will fight. But it's a choice that you must make, because in that mode you will be like your master. There's no greater honor than to be like your master. I'm challenging us this year. In all that you do, obey God. I almost missed my flight this morning. My wife is here. I planned with her. I can't stand this morning. Pastor Diola is tired. Lamb the minister yesterday. I'm going to call Pastor Judah. And I know he won't say no. But when I stepped on the plane at about 6:50 or so, the Lord said, "You will not sleep." My plan was sleep. Sleep to Lagos. Sleep to Bomojo. Prophet Abraham, I love him. He said, "Reverend, we'll not even let you. Can I book a flight to go to do Obomosho to Lagos to Ilorin, so that if it was possible, we'll just drop at Obomosho. You just tell the pilot, 'Oh wow,' and then you drop." He said, "But let them drive the car to pick in Ilorin." I said, "Don't worry, go to church." He said, I said, don't worry. So he called me when I arrived Lagos. I didn't pick his call, because I knew that he was that desperate to make. The Lord said, "Don't sleep. Stay with me." So it was from inside the plane that I started matching scriptures. And I've not even gotten to half of where I'm going to, because I want us to pray now and then see how far we can still go. But this is the call for the year. We cannot maximize the benefits of God until we break free from the rulership of the world, from the rulership of self. Some of our wills are too strong and Jesus needs to break them. The easiest way out of the rulership of self is submission. If you tell God to take it, He will take it. But many times there are violent takeovers. From the rulership of flesh, natural desires that the enemy makes inordinate. From the rulership of sin, actual wrongdoing. We must change sides and come to the side of God. God not only wants to do so much for you this year, God also wants to do so much through you. So our non-compliance will cut us off from the flow of the things that God wants to do for us, but will also stand as inhibitors to the divine counsel. Because for the many things that God wants to do in our territory, He needs an accurate man. He does not just need a man. God has men. When God says, "I sought for a man," what He's saying is, "I seek for an accurate man." Because if you are not accurate in the sight of God, you are not usable. It means you are not a man. A man is one who understands that he was created to serve God. Let me close this first session. I encouraged us to read Romans chapter 6 when we began. So let us look at verse 16. In the second part, when we finish praying, I will do a more robust workout of that chapter 16. Paul said to the Christians in Rome, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves? This verse explains what we call the law of servitude. You have dominion. So spirits can really not bully you around. But spirits approach unto men using suggestions, bringing counsels. And the reason why they do that is that they want you to give them your dominion so that they can find expression in you and through you. Before we go deeper, keep the verse up. In Psalms 115 verse 16, the Bible says what? Heaven, even the heaven belongs to God. One says it's the Lord's. But the earth he has assigned unto the children of men. Good. It means there is no spirit that has legitimate authority in the earth. No spirit has the legitimate right to manifest in the earth. Earth is man's fair. But because spirits are interested in the earth and they know that the keys to operating in the earth belongs to man, what they do is to cut man. They come with counsels, and those counsels are tagged with baits. Sometimes it's a bait of pleasure. Sometimes it's a reward. It may be the reward of what God has promised you for the future, but the spirit comes and tells you, you can have it now. It may even be something that God does not want for you. Oh, God is wicked. Why will he not want you to? Why not go this way? And because we are myopic, we can't see the end from the beginning. We embrace these counsels and what we trade away. That's what Paul is saying. Every time you obey contrary to God, what you do is that you trade your dominion. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? The word is yield yourself servants to obey. It means you are not originally a servant. Your yieldedness converted your status to a servant because you want to obey. It is servants who obey. Is somebody getting my point? Obedience is expected of a servant. David, you were created for throne existence. But because spirits want to rule in the earth, they suggest, and whatever spirit, either of God or of the enemy, that you convert yourself into a servant, or for whom you convert yourself into a servant so that you can obey them. He says, his servants ye are whom ye obey. What does a servant do? No, basic English. What does a servant do? He serves. So when a man says, I serve Jesus, we can run an X-ray. The next question is, who do you obey? I'm not saying you are not a child of God. It looks as if there are new possibilities we can create now. That somebody can be a child of God, it means you have a relationship with God and be obeying Satan. You are given sonship status, but you still want to be a slave of sin. Those realities can cohabit to a degree. Are you getting my point? And if you don't serve away your place in the kingdom, it means that if heaven is your goal, but to be a liability unto heaven, there's still the possibility of heaven. Are you getting my point? What I mean by serving away your place in the kingdom is that if you don't sin away the lordship of Jesus, that you undo your redemptive status by sustained iniquity, that God switches off the workings of his spirit inside you, and then he allows a strange spirit to begin to run the life. You know, the Holy Spirit is the seal of our redemption. Many times when we use the word seal, the only thing people remember is the cup of Coca-Cola as a seal. The word seal also means a stamp. I own this one. The stamp is the Holy Spirit actively working inside. So when God gives a man to a reprobate mind, another spirit begins to run that man's mind. It means there's a new seal on that person. Are you getting my point? I was sharing somewhere because I saw the look on somebody's face. Say, no, all you these people that believe that if somebody is saved, it's not forever saved. I said, let's try that technology in Eden. You are saved outside the kingdom. Because Jesus, the Bible says, let us, I can't remember the verse very well, but it says, let us go to him who was slain outside the camp. Lamde, help me look for that verse. The crucifixion was done outside the camp. So he died for us in the ground of our iniquity so that he could bring us in. Help me. Okay. Let us go therefore unto him without, that's outside the camp, bearing his reproach. That's where the scapegoat is killed. Jesus died after the order of the scapegoat. You heard the word scapegoat before. They'll call the goat out, and then the high priest will put his hand on it, and then they'll be calling the sinner, his people that stole money, thief, adulterer. Then they will take the goat outside the camp and stone it to death. In that way, the goat has taken the sin of everybody. So Jesus died after the order of the scapegoat. Him that knew no sin experientially became sin. But the crucifixion is outside the camp. So he died for us in the ground of our iniquity so that we could come into the camp. In Genesis chapter 2, from verse 7 to 8, man was formed from the dust of the earth and he was placed in the garden. It's a type of our entrance into the kingdom of God. When man misbehaved, what did God do to him? He sent him out of the garden to the ground from whence he was formed. So the possibility of eviction not only exists in that strange thing that they watch online. They also evict people in this kingdom if you no longer comply with the terms in sustained fashion. It's not a true doctrine if it is not in Genesis. So I showed you one from Genesis. Are you with me? It's possible. So my point is, we must decide this year that because we have a relationship with God by redemption, we are going to stay in fellowship. And fellowship is going to bring instructions. Fellowship is going to bring counsels. And when we have instructions and counsels this year, we will obey him. I don't just want to be a child of God. I want to serve Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. Would you cry to him and ask him? Now, this will be a year of service. And I'm not saying doing something in church. I mean that your existence advances his cause. That's service. A life, oh God, help me. Oh, Samahabeloviata. A life that is emblematic of living service. When people see you, the kingdom is advanced in them. When you speak, you may not be having a religious discussion per se. It may be nothing evangelistic. But the way you move around, the way you conduct your life, advances the cause of the Christ. That is service. The one who serves is the one who has found the way of obedience. Hitherto we have claimed to be servants of the Christ, but we have served the world, we have served self, we have served the flesh, we have served sin all unto death. This year we choose obedience unto righteousness. Now we understand that the law of servitude says that whosoever we yield ourselves unto as servants to obey, the servant of that one we are. That's the law. Obedience is what validates service. And so we take sides with you, great one. We take sides with you. Oh, kano sale kamo melakataba rate koso se kabarate lope same kompro saleta lepokon semeli konteli adakaba lebrakiano sokabara matade lekapambe saki barada bakote lembreken somikinata. I batabranzu kate leboko sakana momieke momelata kapras given a tonka baratita hayasa shakade nosa shakade kakande menusiata avande komenetalian sanga braskiata aya tomekaya mama sabaradieta If it requires that I walk alone, I serve you, Jesus. If it requires that men forsake me, I serve you, Jesus. But you have my life. Aikayanda dote sande kamela tata brandu kus kadune tata taka babalanda mamo shaka hey kababa me baba tata mia kono tote kete be bresi keta rate keta kandia me kalutia shakwa kata bababara. My life will serve you, not just ministry but my life. In the secret and in the open, I will serve you. I will obey you. You are my master. In adiame saida bahaya, riadete itomene atabaya. Can you vocalize your commitment to him? He will help you if you are sincere. He will help you in the secret. He will help you in the open if you are sincere. Tonight he sent me to recruit an army of servants, men who are sworn to obey him. Oh, the Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus. Be you in the night. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Oh, I will obey. One more time.
I live for Jesus. Day after day.
I live for you.
I live for Jesus.
As I live for you.
Day after day.
before.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.